emphasis this year on missions and evangelism. I spoke on a missionary, Amy Carmichael, and her life, in that she was called Ama by those that she ministered to, which was the word in her locality for mother. And this morning I want to continue in the same vein, only moving towards Father's Day today, and I'd like to preach on the life it's not there of another man. His name, William Carey, and he earned the title the father of modern missions. Interestingly enough, both the William Carey and Amy Carmichael ministered to the country of India. But what I want to do is give you a little bit of biographical background on the man, and then make some applications from his life to fathers that are here this morning. William Carey was born on August 17, 1761. He was the oldest of the five children born to his parents. At a very early age, his father was named the schoolmaster in the town where they resided, and consequently, education was a priority in the Carey household. At a very early age, Carey taught himself Latin. Yeah, just a young boy, he taught himself Latin. He made it through what would be the equivalent of about the sixth grade. And after that, his father apprenticed him to a shoemaker in a nearby town. It was there that he continued his interest in learning, and he took up a new language, Greek, and taught himself Greek. While he was working for this shoemaker, there was another man there, a co-worker, who was influencing him spiritually. Carey had grown up in a home where they were members of the Church of England, and I don't know how great their interest was in the things of the Lord, but with his interest in learning, the scriptures were a part of that. And this man that he was with influenced him enough that he left the Church of England, which was dead, and joined a small congregational church. Later on in his life, he continued to study languages, and he taught himself Hebrew, Italian, Dutch, and French. In the course of time, he married, and he and his wife had seven children. Two of the girls, two were girls, five were sons. The two girls died while infants, and one of the boys died at the age of 5 years old. He continued his interest in spiritual things, and knowing both Greek and Hebrew, there was an interest and ability in the languages of the scriptures, and he was invited to pastor a local Baptist church, which he did for a while. While doing that, he began reading theological works, and he was very concerned with the propagation of the gospel. In 1787, he went to a meeting of the local ministerium, and a question was brought up about whose responsibility it was to reach the lost of the world. There was a popular belief at that point in time, and practically everybody in this ministerium held to it, that the Great Commission that was given by the Lord Jesus back in all the Gospels was confined to the apostles themselves, that once they had, quote-unquote, fulfilled it at the end of the first century, that it was no longer to be practiced by anyone else. Carey thought otherwise, and he pronounced his belief that it was their responsibility to go out and send missionaries into the world to reach the lost. One man in that ministerium told him, and I quote, "Young man, sit down. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid and mine." That could have been discouraging to him, but it did just the opposite. It encouraged him all the more to reach the lost of the world. In 1792, along with a couple of other people, he formed the particular Baptist Society for the Propagation of the Gospel Amongst the Heathen. It is now, that agency is now still in existence today, but they have shortened the letters of the names of it to BMH or BHM. I forget exactly what it is. It's just three letters long anymore. But it's interesting. It must have been something in that day and age to have a long title to everything. He wrote a very good work on the responsibility of people to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, and had a title, and the thing was about yay long. During that time that this mission agency was being formed, he had opportunities to preach everywhere. And one day he preached a sermon from Isaiah 54, verses 2 and 3. And in it came a quote that governed his life. He said, "Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God." I want you to hold on to that because it'll become important in just a little bit. In the course of time, a missionary from India, who was a medical missionary, came back to England in order to secure some financial resources and go back to the field. It was decided that Carey would go back with him to India. Immediately, he faced a lot of opposition. There was a vehemency against the spreading of the gospel in Calcutta, India. And that's where the ship that he was on was going, and finally they said, "You know what, we can't take you there." They dropped him off, and it was months until a Dutch ship would come along and take him to the place. When he got to India, he found that he was amongst a people that didn't speak any of the languages that he spoke. So guess what he did? He learned a new one, Bengali. And the first thing that he did after he learned the language is he translated the New Testament into Bengali. Over the course of time, the opposition to his ministry became intense, and he had to move to Serampore. And there, guess what happened? He found another dialect that the people spoke that was not part of his repertoire of languages, Sanskrit. Guess what he did? He learned Sanskrit, and guess what he did with it? He translated the New Testament into Sanskrit so that the people would have the New Testament in their own language. A little later on, in 1818, he founded the Serampore College, which had a primary purpose of training ministers in the gospel, but also teaching the arts and sciences to the people there. 9 years later, that institution was granted a degree granting institution. They became, if you will, accredited. One of the things also that Carey did was that he opened up a public school to the children in the area. There was in the caste system that was predominant in Egypt or in India that's still there today, only the upper caste was allowed to have any type of education. And even there, it was restricted to boys. Females were not allowed to have any education whatsoever. Well, he said that nuts to that, and he opened up a public school. And basically, he was responsible for education going throughout the whole land. In the course of time, his wife suffered a bunch of emotional and physical illnesses. His oldest son died while he was on the field. There were problems with the missionary agency back in England. In fact, at the close of his life, he had to disassociate himself with that agency and move differently. But he inspired world missions. I want to take some of the things that Carey did and apply them as the father of missions. Now, Carey was a father in three different aspects. He had physical children because of his witness. He had spiritual children. And because of his desire for missions, he became the father of modern missions. I want to take some of the principles of Carey's life concerning his ministry of propagating the gospel and apply it to fathers in the physical sense. The first thing that Cary did is he recognized that being a father was primarily a responsibility. It was a responsibility for people to take the gospel all over the world, not just limited to the apostles, but every Christian to do that. And not necessarily having to leave one's home country, but being an evangelist, sharing the gospel with the whole world. Children are looked at as one of four things, or possibly a combination of. Children can be seen by some as a nuisance. I've heard people that have grown up and say, "I don't want any children." I think it was Mark Twain who had a despise early on for children and said, in fact, children should be seen and not heard. And when they become teenagers, they shouldn't be seen. You put them in a barrel and you feed them through the hole in the barrel. And when they turn 16, you plug up the hole. He said that. He saw them as a nuisance. And a lot of people look at spiritual children as a nuisance. "I don't want any parts of evangelism." That's sad. Some people see children as a gift. And certainly they are. Psalm 127 says that children are a heritage of the Lord. That they are God's gift to mom and dad. And that's a good thing if you recognize that. But unfortunately, sometimes that can be taken to an extent that's not good. It's not any longer a gift, but they become a toy, a plaything. It's a nice thing to have around the house, a thing, someone to do crazy things with, but that's it. Some people see children as a pleasure, and certainly that's a good thing. In fact, the God the Father said of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He took pleasure in Christ, and that's good. But sometimes that pleasure becomes, well, they act just like me, or they are fulfilling all the things that I never was, and I'm living out my life through them. That's not a good thing. Cary primarily saw children as a responsibility. Spiritually speaking, a responsibility to go into the world and to preach the gospel and to bring forth newly born babes in Christ. That's a responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18 says that if a man does not provide for his own family, he's worse than an infidel. Children are a responsibility. Responsible for what? Well, first of all, for their subsistence. They need food, they need clothing. Those things are absolutely necessary. Cary was good to provide financially for his children. Now, they didn't have a whole lot. Nowhere does it say in Scripture that a child needs a cell phone, a laptop, Netflix. Now, not that those things are necessarily wrong, but sometimes we go overboard in providing things, and we forget that we are responsible for greater things. In his own household, and this brings me to my second point, education was high on the list. As I noted, he learned a number of languages, and most of them were self-taught. Cary had a responsibility, first of all, to educate himself. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A father has a responsibility to his child to be educated. Now, careful. His formal education ended when he was 12. He went on to be the founder of a college, a degree-granting college. He was a teacher without a diploma, without any type of letters after his name. You can have the whole alphabet after your name and not be able to teach a thing. Well, you can teach lots of things, but not the right things. Study to show thyself approved, a workman approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing philosophy, the word of truth. The most needed thing that a child needs in his education is an understanding of the Scriptures. And gentlemen, fathers, I encourage you this morning to be a person who continues on in their education, not necessarily for letters after your name, but that you can know the Scriptures inside and out. But a personal knowledge is not enough. That knowledge needs to be communicated. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples." The word disciples literally means one who learns. Students. And if there's a student, there should be a teacher somewhere. Mike had this morning in the Sunday school opening opportunities to share some testimonies of things that how fathers influence people. And I didn't respond. I never respond to those things. I'm just an outcast. I mean, I get lots of time to speak, and I don't want to take away anyone else's opportunity to give testimony, because I know I can do it here, and we'll be here till tomorrow. My father, as far as education went, graduated from high school and then went for a couple of years of business school. That was the extent of his formal education. His business school was in accounting, and he applied himself to the things that he learned, but he never stopped learning. He held positions in businesses later on in his life that no one with his educational degrees was qualified to hold, yet he did them as well as or possibly better than those who had degrees. He was not a teacher per se of, "Okay, son, sit down, I'm going to teach you this." But his lifestyle taught volumes. Now, some of the stuff that he taught me, maybe he should have kept to himself. Let me put it this way. I inherited my father's sense of humor. When you hear me, you are hearing my father. My father was not a great communicator as far as expressing emotions go. Somebody else, I think, Mike, you said this morning, your father never said he loved you very much a number of times. Mike, I think I could count on one hand the number of times my father ever said, "I love you," to me in the course of, he died 5 years ago, so that I would have been 58 years old at the time. One hand, I could count the number of times he said, "I love you." But there was never, ever a doubt in my mind that he did. He expressed it in many, many, many ways. And that was an education. He had a responsibility, Gary did, as one to communicate spiritually to people that they might be born, then to disciple people once they were born. Thirdly, go back to the statement that he made. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Parenting requires both. For those who consider children a nuisance, there could be a reason. Sometimes they are. Every parent will say, "There are times that I might wish I was childless by the way they act." And you get frustrated by the way they act, the things that they're doing, and you want to pull your hair out. And I don't know how many times my father said to me, "Wish you would act your age." You ever hear that one? I said, "Well, Dad, I'm only 3. It can become frustrating, and you wonder, when are they ever going to grow up? You need to expect great things from God. And in doing so, you need to attempt great things. That means two things in particular. You're going to have to endure a lot of trials and tribulations in raising children. Carrie worked for 40 years on the mission field. 40 years straight without a furlough, not once. Not once did he say, you know what, I need a vacation from this work. I got to go home and be in familiar surroundings. His determination was, I am going to stick through this throughout all the persecutions that there were, whether it be the governmental persecutions, whether it be the culture of the people, whether it be the trials and tribulations of family members dying and sicknesses and one thing that happened, they had a printing press where they were producing all these New Testaments. It burned down. All his translations, most of them were lost, had to start all over with them. I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong, almost. And he said, I will not let that deter me from accomplishing my God-given responsibility. I will endure. And along this very same lines, he persevered. Do you realize that Carrie was in India for 7 years before he ever saw one convert? 7 years of nothing. And he said, I'm here by the will of God. I am expecting great things from God. I will attempt great things for God. And sooner or later, God will do what he intends to do. In the course of time, God did just that. And I want to encourage you as we ask the question, is it all worth it? Let me share some results of what happened with William Carey. Carey formed a team of colleagues around him in his mission operation. His accomplishments were probably the greatest in all missionary history. His team translated the Bible into 34 Asian languages. He started the Saramapur College. He began churches and established 19 mission stations. He formed 100 rural schools encouraging the education of girls. He printed the first Indian newspaper. He waged a war against one of the cultural things of the day. When a man died, they practiced the thing called sati, where his widow would be burned alive at the man's funeral. He said, that's not going to happen. And he waged war. And guess what? In 1829, the government outlawed the practice. He would influence the people for good. He waged a war against the cultural caste system. In the caste system, you had to stay within your caste. If you were in the upper class, you married within the upper class. If you were in the, and I don't know all the different castes, but you stayed within it. You couldn't go outside of it. Well, the very first convert that he had wanted to marry a girl in a different caste. Society said, you can't do that. He said, the Bible says I can. We are equal in Christ. And he faced the opposition. And guess what? They got married. He changed the way people looked at life. And consequently, his vision for missions inspired literally thousands of young men and women to go off to spread the gospel that may have never left home if the common practice of believing that it rested with just the apostles remained. Interestingly enough, one man, his name's Ken Curtis, wrote this concerning Carey, and I close with this. I quote, "I was privileged to retrace the steps of Carey in India recently to do location scouting for a film on his life. I was amazed to find Carey's name is still held in the highest esteem in India. At the Serampore train station, there are statues of Gandhi and Carey. Children told me they learned about Carey in school. Government officials spoke of his contributions to India with the highest respect." And this is really telling. "While the United States Postal Service was making a big fuss over issuance of their stamp honoring Elvis Presley, the Indian Department of Post celebrated the life and ministry of William Carey with a 6-rupee stamp." We say, "Oh, Elvis!" And they say, "Carey. What a man. The father of modern missions." Gentlemen, I encourage you to be like a William Carey in your own house. Take your responsibility as a father and attempt great things for God while expecting great things from Him. Educate, whether vocally or by lifestyle, educate and hang in there. It's well worth it. For one day, no matter what happens to your children, there will be a Father in heaven who will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, use the continuing legacy of this man, William Carey, to influence for good fathers this morning, for the glory of God and the well-being of each and every son. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.